I just want to thank...
There are not enough shoes to show.
I just want to thank the Russians for welcoming us to T.K. Monk and for giving up his time for our Macedonian campaign. Kevin knows that Rav is one of the biggest poskim in the world today, and his time is extremely, extremely valuable. In addition to being such a great posek, also a mechaber of dozens and dozens of svarim, and he agreed to just open up the floor to questions to deal with whatever is on your mind. So we thank Rav very, very much for
I was introduced. Yeah. Forgive me, I don't hear well, but I assume you said nice things about me, so thank you. And forgive me, but I have a very bad cold, so forgive me. And I'm going to have to... They're bringing sucking candies for me. I need the lubrication.
You'll find a sniffler hot there.
Did you hear him?
It's Derek Remes. It's...
It's genetic. He's my son.
It's only right.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. You got to know how to open these. It's not easy, but thank you very much. Yes, you can.
Have a seat.
I'm always ready to say a share, but my understanding is this is questions and answers. So whatever you want to, you have free rein. Just know that I'm hard of hearing. So please shout at me without anger. Yes, sir.
When a bacher,
I don't hear you.
When a bacher is choosing a yeshiva.
We're going to have to get
you. When a bacher is choosing a yeshiva,
we'll get you a Targum. I'm a Targum on if you need.
He wants to know.
Right, you, so what is it saying?
So far, he just say.
When a bacher is choosing a yeshiva, is it important that it be in Eretz Yisrael, or is it okay to be in Chutz La'aretz? Is there a value for it to be in Eretz Yisrael when a bacher is choosing a yeshiva?
Look, the Gemara says there's a Gemara, Ein Torah Keteres Eretz Yisrael. Yet one of the heterim of leaving Eretz Yisrael is marriage or to learn Torah. Because the Gemara says, Lo'ilam yilmad adam Torah from the mokum where he feels he'll be matzliach. There's so many things that are subjective. And that's where a person is matzliach in Torah according to his desires. So for instance, if a person is in a wonderful chabura, and many mefarshim say, "Ashei l'charav, but knei l'chachover." So it means chover is even more important than the ashei, because that's knei. This is a diuk of rishonim. So if a person feels my chabura in Eretz Yisrael is going to chutz l'aretz to learn Torah, he should go with the chabura. L'chayre. All other things being equal, because then you have individual needs where a person can or cannot follow the chabura. But like in any decision, are you going to say, Vibal, there are certain milas in Eretz Yisrael, you should bedavka go to Eretz Yisrael to get married? These are hashkacha things. These are individual things. You can't, you don't put everything into a chulent, you know what I mean? So it's these decisions are very, very subjective.
The Rav has published many Sfarim. Is there a specific sefer that's very chaviv to the Rav?
Which of the Rav's Sfarim are the most chaviv to the Rav?
It's like, I have B'li Ayin Hara quite a few children. Would you ask me who I love the most? There may be an answer, but I don't say that. Baruch Hashem, I have to admit to you, my writing svarim, I never dreamt that I would write so many svarim. and it's almost like an obsession. It's Baruch Hashem, it's a good addiction. It's a positive, but it's almost, because my waking hours, I'm always, this is the main thrust of my thinking. I am now working, it's a good over 16 svarim. Not b'vasachas, b'zachas. The reason is because I used to submit a sefer for typing, and that person had a lot of people working for him. So I got instant coffee. Today he retired. He has one person working for him. So it's a very slow process, which I'm trying to pull away from. That's why I have that many shvarim, but it's my tirda. It's something that I'm obsessed with. What should I tell you? Baruch Hashem, it's a nice thing to be obsessed with. Psychologically, it may have to do with the fact that my mother, Lash Shalom, comes from a line of people who wrote Svarim. And we were little kids, she used to say that her father wrote a Sefer, her Zayda wrote a Sefer. Her father's Sefer I was able to find. The Zayda I was not able to find. But as kids we heard, you know, they wrote Svarim. So maybe that helped in the psychological, you know, intake. You got to write Svarim. I don't know. I can't answer. With Baruch Hashem, it's something that gives me a tremendous amount of Hakar Shatayv Tashem that I was able to do it.
Does the idea of Elu Velu Divrei Elokim Chaim apply to Divrei Hashkafa?
I can't see why not. Because Hashkafa is also, you know, Rashi and Unalath, Rashi says, because they're all Svaras HaTorah. The very fact, historically, in Inyanei Hashkafa alone, there are so many diverse opinions throughout the ages. So, and G'day Le'olam, Bali Ruach HaKodesh, you know, very special people, with such diverse opinions. So, L'chaira, we have to say that, no?
Who are the Rebbe's Rabbeim when he was a Talmud? Who are the Rebbe's main Rabbeim?
Who was Rav David's Rebbe?
The Iker, I'm a Talmud of the Sifter of Chaim Berlin, and Rav Hutner Zatzal, I heard his shmuzin. One could say that his way of thinking influenced me. It's hard to say. I was very close to many Gedolim. I was close to Rav Gustman Zatzal. Certain degree of Rav Ruderman, I was very close to Rav Ruderman, and there were many other Gedolim throughout that I was zeichet to meet. Hard to say. It's hard for a person to, you know, to. It's like Eino Demroya Nigei Atzmai. It's hard for me to say who is the greatest influence in my way of thinking. Hard to say. I would guess Rav Hutner Zatzal, because I was, for so many years, I heard Divrei Torah from him. It was hard for me to answer, but I had Baruch Hashem, when there was another Gadol that I could connect with, I did my utmost to connect with him.
When someone's dealing with mental health disorders, how do you deal with addressing what type of chola they are and dealing with their shilos?
When Rav David has shilos on mental health issues, how do you deal? How do you respond?
How do you know what level chola the person is? A chola sheyesh bo sakana, chola she...
Again.
How do you determine if someone is a chola sheyesh bo sakana or ein bo sakana with mental health related issues?
firstly, you don't have to determine. Since the Torah says, Shofik Pikuach Nefesh, Hasadin of Pikuach Nefesh. So why do I have to determine? If I feel, hey, this is a Shofik Pikuach Nefesh, that's enough. I want to tell you a very interesting, it's very interesting, and you can be mefalpel in this, it's not pashut. Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal said the following, and I say again, it's not pashut. As we all know, there are diverse opinions. So here we have a chayla here. This Rav says, Rav or doctor, doesn't matter. This is pikuach nefesh. This I've heard innumerable times in my career. One doctor saying, it's pikuach, you know, shouting, it's pikuach nefesh. Rush him to the hospital. And another doctor who has the same certifications said, is he making a mistake? It's a stomachache. This has been my simbachol yom in my career. I've been asked these shilas since I've been young, and this is something that happens. Like I would use a phrase, my simbachol yom. This doctor says pikuach nefesh, and this doctor says narishkeit. It's not. Says or. Two doctors, two rabbonim. This Rav says, Nechal Shabbos, Pikuach Nefesh. And this Rav says, no way. Says Rav Moshe, and I'm telling you, there's a good room to be mefalpul in Halacha and Hashkofa. He says, this is during the week. On Shabbos, the Rav that says, it's not Pikuach Nefesh, since he's only a human being, he may be wrong. So Shabbos, it becomes Safek Pikuach Nefesh, and he's allowed to be Machal Shabbos for this Chayla. Not only allowed to, he has to. You hear what Rav Moshe is saying? It's a very big Chiddush. I don't want to go into the pilpul of, but look how far it goes. You're only a human being. So how do you know? Maybe the other guy is right. And that's enough to call it pikuach nefesh. When you go with this kind of reasoning, there are so many areas. Just yesterday, I had a very similar case. It was a case. They found something. So they want to operate to check it out. It's something. You got to check it out. They found the growth. So we got to check it out. So they cut it. They cut and they do a biopsy and they study it, which is the norm in any medical situation. A growth. Let's check it out. So a woman, they found the growth. Let's check it out. She's pregnant. Let's wait 9 months till we operate. So they asked me to Shaila. So I said, if normally they would operate, what do you mean? You know what it means to wait 9 months if there's a growth? It's pikuach nefesh. So they have to operate. And if as a result, they're not saying it would kill the child to operate. The embryo, that is. Well, if it does, it does. But that's a black and white halacha. That needs the pikuach nefesh of the mother. We look at the child, it's like a scab. The needs of the mother and it's pikuach nefesh. What do you mean you're going to wait 9 months? This was yesterday, Shaila. And that's what I paskin. But why did I paskin? Because, I mean, is it really mamish? Because if normally you would operate, to find the growth. Yes, it's pikuach nefesh. You got to operate. That's my way of thinking. I think I'm pretty clear on that.
Do Rabbanim nowadays have the power to use an afkinu on a kiddushin, or is it limited to the scenarios in the Gemara?
Can Rabbanim nowadays use afkinu Rabbanim the kiddushin minei, or can we only use it in the...
There are a lot of paiskim. There's a rivash that says, if you have an encyclopedia Talmudit, look it up. Look up afkinu. There were achrayim who held that Rabbanim in their place have that koyach to make, but it's a big, as like in everything in Yiddishkeit, it's a big machlokes. I don't think we go with it, but there is such a day, yes.
To what extent should we use different different girsos in the Gemara to determine halacha or to determine the pshat in the Gemara?
I didn't hear one word.
When we're learning a Gemara, to what extent should we consider different girsaos of the Gemara to determine different girsaos, like the girsa of the Gemara? To what extent should we look at those different girsaos to learn pshat and then determine to find maybe a different halacha based on a variant girsa?
When you find different girsaos, so to what extent should you go?
To follow that girsa and even paskin based on a variant girsa.
Well, when you say paskin, that's if you become a posek. So that's a question itself. How are you going to become a posek? Just by getting smicha or by being yotzek mayim on a posek for innumerable amount of years till you feel you're ready? And then there's a madrega posek where there are those, you know, there is different mesoras. I once gave a huge lecture. It's not easy. But you know how many diverse opinions there are in how to go and paskin a shaila. And there are those who hold, believe it or not, because our upbringing is not that way, but in Litta, a rov that paskin a shaila, because he looked at the Pisrei Tshuva, Sharei Tshuva, or all today you have Likutim Svarim, you can look up on almost everything and get all the shittas. In Litta, if someone wanted to denigrate a Rav, the worst thing you could say about a Rav, he paskins from a Likut Sefer. There was nothing lower. If you wanted to insult the Rav, that was the biggest insult you could say, and I'm not kidding you. You know we paskins. He looks it up, and it says some cipher holds like this, and then he paskins from the Likud. That's a basic fair. And I'm telling you, there was nothing lower. If you wanted to denigrate a Rav, there was nothing lower you could say. Kuliai. Because what are you, a paskining? When you paskin, and I'm not kidding you, you argue with Rishonim. You go through the Sugyas HaGemara, and this is the way I understand the Gemara. Rashi understood it differently. Rabbeinu Yoina differently. But I understand it this way, and that's the way I'm going to paskin. Do you hear me or not? We're not brought up that way. But I'm telling you in Litta, this is the way Rab Gustman, I'm telling you now, Rav Moshe is upgeret. People don't realize. I spoke personally to Rav Moshe because he is very unique when it comes to abortion, termination. He argues on the whole world. And there were Gedolim who, you know, held from Rav Moshe, and there's what to hold from. Like the Tzitz Eliezer. There's a tshuva, he says, I don't know where he's coming from. Because what he says what he says, and he says, you're going to ask me from, I spoke to Rav Moshe personally on this Sinyan. You're going to ask me from the Taishas in Nida Mem Dalet. It's two say at first in the Taishas. Huh? There are two saints, they say not like me, but they're printer's errors. Yeah. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What? And he kept saying like this. People don't realize there's a Mashiach from a Chaim Volozhiner, which is from the Goyin and earlier. Because that's a real Pesach. And if you look in, I wrote a whole huge article on this, that if you look in Shvarim of Gedolei, like the first Talmidim in Volozhin, you see perspiration, tremendous perspiration in the Sefer. Nachlas David, Mishkanus Yankiv, one after the other. Keren Oira. What is the Pshat Gemara? Oimik, Oimik, and Lamita Shel Torah. As you go more south in Europe, you will find the Derech is totally different. Pilpul, 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 pshetlach. So when it comes to Pesach, doesn't it follow that if you're going to paskin the way you learned, you got to learn Lamita Shel Torah? If you're going to paskin from other Svarim, and as you go down south in Europe from the Paskin, the Derech HaPesach was different. In Hungary, so you counted out how many Paskin were Machmer, how many were Mekel, you went with the Roif, there were certain rules. You went with the Shulchan Aruch, you went with the Ramah, but if the Magen Avraham is Machmer, they made certain rules that they followed how you're supposed to paskin. Nothing whatsoever to do with what I just told you. And it follows. Because then how that, and when they said pulpulim, pshetl, 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 you know, you can argue, but it's beautiful. They put together all kinds of beautiful divrei Torah. It's such a diverse way of learning. And it was reflected in the attitude to Pesach Halacha. But in Litta, and this is the Messiah of the Goyim. However, in order to be humble, not to show I am arguing with Rishonim, so there's a classic Reb Chaim Volozhiner who argued with a Beis Yosef on the din of Maliach Hareyu Kuroseach. He argued with him, Halacha, and he says, you're going to go ask me for the Beis Yosef. They had different salt then. It's a joke, no? But it's a way of saying, I'm not arguing with him. And that's exactly what Rav Moshe did when he says it's a Torah Shatfus. I'm telling you, I spoke personally to Rav Moshe. So he told me, they keep quoting. I want to tell you a very interesting bibliographical thing. I don't think I mentioned it in Camp K. I don't think so. But it's very fundamental. If you buy old Svarim, after a while, you realize what happens. I was, since I'm a young kid, I used to love to buy old Svarim. And there's a print, so you have to understand, it hit a point where in Lemberg, in around 1860, they printed Arba Chelkei Shulchan Aruch with all the Mefarshim. Wow. So who didn't want to buy that set? I have the original. Beautiful. It's a beautiful paper. After a while, the paper, they couldn't use rag paper, so it would turn what we call like light brown and it would crumble. But the paper from 1860, booksellers still call it Schnass Kesser, and they charge a separate price for it because it's beautiful. And there are people who want to buy that. So in the Arba Chelkei Shulchan Aruch, they put together all the Mefarshim they could at the time. So, of course, many people would buy Lemberg that year, right? And it's not 1 year, because it took a few years to publish this set. Okay. But they made a glitch, which I discovered. There's a sefer called, it's in the, you know, any Mishnah Brura has Pischa Tshuva and what's the other side? I'm you know, my Shia citizenship.
What's up?
The Be'er Heitev and the Pesachit Shuvah. So they printed the Be'er Heitev and the Pesachit Shuvah on Arba Chelkei Shulchan Aruch. Right? There was a glitch. I happen to own the first edition of each. The Sefer Be'er Heitev, people just like, you see those little mefor, why did they do that? So you could learn while you're on the train or while someone else is driving, I hope. So you take out the pocket mishnayos and you can learn. Today we have a lot of pockets for them. Why bottle? You could learn. So they printed. Of course, they had much bigger overcoats with much bigger pockets. So the Sefer was, I would say, almost about as tall as this, half of this. And it's called Be'er Heitev. Except there are two Be'er Heitevs. Not one is from Rav Chaim Mandel. Same name. From Bells. From Bells. And the other is from Rabbi Avrom Tiktin. And they're diverse. One of them is like a Rashi on the Shulchan Aruch. So I'm learning Shulchan Aruch. I look in Be'er Heitev because sometimes I don't know good taich. So he gives me the good taich. He's malakit from the Magen Avrom, from whatever it is. That's one Be'er Heitev. The other Be'er Heitev is like a Pesachit Shuvah, what we have, where he gave you Shuvah. It's a different sefer. So what happened in Lemberg? They were printing the Be'er Heitev of the Pesachit Shuvah kind, and they glitched. So in Shulchan Aruch, Chayshemish, Bet Chelik Sheni, and they kept making offsets of that, you understand, because people didn't realize. So instead of the Be'er Heitev, where he quotes Shuvahs, they printed the Be'er Heitev, where it's another Be'er Heitev. I'm talking to Rav Moshe, and he says, they keep quoting those people who are mat determination, keep quoting a Marit, and they say Be'er Heitev brings it. I can't find it. So I told Rav Moshe the reason you can't find it. I explained to him what it is. And I told him it's the Maritzim and Tzadik Zion. And this is what he says. Very interesting shot. The Torah says, V'nokfu isha hara. So he has to pay the Mevel Odais, right? So he says, why? We have a din kamlei b'nerabminei. And we also have a din that even b'shoigeg, tonet v'chizkiyah. So even b'shoigeg, even if there's no chi of misa, you still say kamlei b'nerabminei. How could the Torah be mechayiv of the mevel odais? If v'nokfu isha hara, so they're killing of lot. So why isn't it kamlei b'nerabminei? The Teretz says it's not Ritzicha. Kasubru Yerachimai. It's removing a scab. It's not Ritzicha. Not like Rav Moshe. He was very quiet. But I told him the Raya. Because he held it's Ritzicha. You understand? But this was the Raya. It's a very beautiful Raya. And I explained why you couldn't find it. And other yom, you could check it because, I don't know, maybe with the brand new, everything there's being, you know, they're putting out everything anew now. Maduras Friedman, so could be they, I don't know, I didn't check it out. They may have corrected it. But in all those, they kept on photo offsetting. Except when Vilna Yerodea came out, so they had even more. So what they kept on, what Schulzinger did, is that Lemberg till Yerodea, and Yerodea Vilna, because it had more Mepharshim. But that was Yerodea. But when it came to the Lemberg, Cheshavish, but Chelik Sheni, that mistake was repeated again and again and again. Which is very interesting bibliography. It's something to bear in mind. And it's a beautiful Raya also, besides everything. But I'm just telling you how Litvish Gedalim Paskin, the way they learned the sugya, And if I'm arguing, I'm not arguing Toshat Fush. You heard Maliach HaRei Shayach, it was different salt, which means, it reminds me, we had someone who was very curved. There was a Rav, he was from the first really from a Rabbonim in America, Rabbi Eli Young, Dr. Eli Young. He did a lot for American Judaism. So it was known that when you invited him, like in 7 months, I'm making a wedding. So Rabbi Young, could you come? No, I can't. I have a bris that day. Big joke, right? But you didn't, this is what he said, so he can't come. But it was his way of saying, I ain't coming. You know what I mean? So I have a bris that day, men means that. And the same thing, it's different salt, you understand? It's like a teretz. And if you learn, people learn Igros Moshe, and so many times they're not sensitive. When Rav Moshe writes his shita on Eruv, that he's against, you know, the, so he writes, you're going to ask me from the Ramban, and he has a whole pilpul Ramban, but he doesn't say how he answers the Ramban, who says not like him. It just wants you to know, I know the Ramban. And he's mefalpel with the Ramban. People who learn the Igros Moshe many times don't realize this, that Ramesh is mefalpel, but he really didn't tell you how these Rishonim are not like him. He's just like, I know the Rishon. So he's mefalpel in the Rishon. But Ramesh creates a Rishonim. And he's not the only one. All the Gedolei Litta that I was close to paskin that way. It was understood. Because that's what a Pesach is all about. Or else you're not a Pesach. Or else you're a Malakit.
Is that why Ramesha said that Marit was Mezuyev? The Ramesha said that Marit was Mezuyev. That's why he said that? Because it disagreed with him?
No. He never said it's Mezuyev. In Teisvis, in two places, he says it's a Tarsat Fush.
But Marit, he said... It's against Sadites.
No, he just told me I can't find it. He didn't comment on it. He couldn't find the Marit. Because the Marit is brought in the Behetiv, and he says, I looked in Behetiv, it's not there. He didn't know the Marit. He didn't see it. You should know, Rav Moshe didn't look in Achronim unless you asked him. From the Achronim, he looked it up. But Rav Moshe didn't bother to look Achronim because he argued with them. People don't realize this.
In the tshuva on abortion, he quotes that Marit, probably because the Rav showed it to him.
He said it's
could
a Talmud
be afterwards.
Moshe writes, it's a Talmud Toya.
Talmud, he writes Talmud Toya, maybe, Deva. I don't know. That could be, I don't remember. But it could be, it's when I actually, he told me he couldn't find the Marit when I spoke to him. Could be it was later.
We have 25 wonderful young men who met Hashem are going to go into
Shidduchim. How many did you say?
25 wonderful young men.
25?
25, must meet them. Wonderful young men going to go into Shidduchim.
Really?
Met Hashem.
There used to be a Yiddish song by a chosin at the wedding, they used to say. Why? You know, does anyone here know Yiddish? If you don't, you won't appreciate it. But there was a Yiddish song that was sung at every wedding with the name of the chassan. Let's say his name was Chatzkel. Chatzkel hat shein chassan gehad. Chatzkel hat shein chassan gehad. Keine hat dem nicht genäht, er hat sein eigen Kopf verdreht. Chatzkel, which means nobody bothered him and he made himself meshugah. Why is he getting married? Anyway, so you're going to get married, right? It's very interesting. Chazal say that that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Yetzer Hara. If not for that, no one would get married. So we thank the Yetzer Hara. So anyway, so of course you want a bracha from me that they should find the right Zivugim and they shouldn't be wise guys, which has become the nature today, where since... It's, you know, it's somehow in our society it has become more and more that the male is the boss. I am making the decision. You know, so what happens is, unfortunately, it's nice to be the one who really is, you know, that it's like, you know, it's your market. But people, as a result, males, as a result, keep on procrastinating. And that's terrible, because I keep seeing people older and older and older, and they claim they can't find their Zivik. And that's a terrible thing. So you have to have that discipline that, you know, you feel that in every way she's the right one. Jump in. Because I'm giving you sound advice, and especially in our tkufa, it's getting worse and worse that people are getting young men. Kailul, people would be in the kailul learning, and they wait and they wait and they wait. So I'm giving you very good advice, and I say to each and every one of you, you should find the right Zivik Bekarev, and each and every one of you should be Baina by Yisrael, and be Yisrael, L'shem ul Teferes Amen.
What are the important things to look for in the Shidduch?
Money! You didn't think of that one, right? Did you expect me to say that?
I'm looking at the Rebbetzin.
There was someone who said that every shidduch has to have some sort of chesaron. And he was taught that having money is a chesaron, so he's ready to look away on that one chesaron. But this is Ruach HaKodesh. There's really no answer to it. Because if you want to call it Ruach HaKodesh, which you can, you don't have to have poet's license. For instance, the Chazal say, "Kishem she'en partzufein shavos, kach ein deyoseyin shavos." And Rab Tzadik HaKoyim from Lublin ad libs on this. He says, "Loma leishnayim." The Rabbeinu Shlom doesn't need two of a kind. So each and every one is different. So if we go around and ask, who likes spaghetti? Some people will raise their hands. Who dislikes spaghetti? Some people will raise their hands. So how could you ask me, is spaghetti a mile or a chesaron? Depends who answers. Similarly, when it comes to a shidduch, something that appeals, you know what's so interesting, and you see how it changes. Let me give you a very interesting thing. In the time, in the tkufa, of, I would say, let's say, around 1900, roughly. Do you know that a thin girl had very little chance of becoming a kala? Because if she's thin, she's sick. I'm talking about a mindset of people at that time. There's a Gemara. The Gemara says that there's a certain... We call it a choker for the same reason. In other words, it's not just a strand, but it has space to it. And the women used to wear it. And the word that Chazal used sounds like chnika, chnik, chenek. Because isha chonek is a satsma, she makes it tight. She should look fat. Do you hear? So in other words, there was a big mila to look fat. How do you like that? And as I told you, in 1900, thin, and then look how it changed, that no, beauty is thin. That's the opposite. You see that these things could change. But minakotze lakotze. How do you know? So it's a very individual thing that each and every person has a different time. You're going to tell me I should explain to you why blue is the nicest color in the world. Depends what colors appeal to you. It doesn't go that way. And that's why there's no answer to this. It's just what, when you feel it's the right one, that's the time to jump in.
when a bacher is faced with the decision, when should he ask his rebbeim versus when should he realize that he should think by himself and take the decision personally?
Generally speaking, because again, different people have to different chunas on nefesh. Generally speaking, a person should ask, doesn't necessarily mean unless you feel the person is mamash bal ruach hakodesh, and there's evidence, and he says marry this girl. So unless it's so, don't feel that if you ask, you're obligated to do as you're told. You're risking an etzim. Generally speaking, Shchayr Yemei Shalom, Binu Shneiz Dervada, Shalavi Chaviyat Get Chazkeina Chaviyay Malach. So generally, whether it's asking or knowing a little bit history, a person should have some sort of background with which to be able to make decisions, generally speaking. But again, it's the individual, understand. So if a person should generally ask advice, but the bottom line is yecheshek. That's what I feel. The bottom line is your decision. It's your life. You're not mafka your life. Like, tell me what to do.
We just heard a shir about paskening halacha, the question of paskening halacha from Tanakh, the question of can you paskin from Tanakh. We just heard a shir about the question whether you could paskin halacha from Tanakh or Agadata. Has the Rav ever had a modern day shayla which he hasn't found sources in Gemara and he had to look elsewhere like the Tanakh to paskin the shayla?
It depends. There is such a thing as Gilui Milsa. So there you even I'll give you a very cute example, Halacha. The name Batsheva, right? Is it one or two words? Nafkamina Halacha. A person is writing a get. You can't write a name. You can't hyphenate by a get. That's the din. So if you're by the end of the... You can't write bash, next line sheva. Right? Better than that, if it's one name, you don't hyphenate and you write bash sheva. If it's one word, is it one word or two words? So Rab Chaim, this is the Messiah. Rab Chaim Volozhiner came and asked the Goyin. The Goyin knew that Rab Chaim Volozhiner knew Kol HaTorah Kula. So he answered him from a phrase that we say in the Tzlichas Escha, Escha Lekim V'Amoya. Right? Where we're saying the Yud Gimel Midas Harachon. We say Hashem, Hashem, Hashem. And because of that, we say a phrase, Tomachti Yisaydoi Shai Beshloish Eshrei Teves. That's part of the Pismon. So he told Rav Chaim Volozhiner, Tomachta Yisaydoi Shai Al Shloish Eshrei Teves. Rav Chaim Volozhiner, who knew Kol HaTorah Kula, realized what the Goyin is saying, and he realized the Goyin is telling him a Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Chav Beis Amar Aleph. The Gemara says like this, that it says in the beginning of Tanakh that by David HaMelech he had a neinish because he cut the beggar of Shaul. And because of this, when he was old, he suffered, he was very cold. and they brought him a Naira Pshula, Loi Bo Olaha, to be Mechamim him. So she said to him, look, you used me, marry me. So he says, I can't, because I'm married to the quota of women. A king can't take more than 18. So she said to him, you're not giving me an honest answer. You're an old man, so you just give me a teretz. You don't mean it. So the Gemara says, in order to check himself that he really does mean it, he said, kill Lila Basheva, that he was married to. And the Pasuk says, Malamet Shabbat Lawa Yud Gimel, that he was by a lot, Yud Gimel Palmim. Shenema, Batovei Basheva Pasuk. So, Rashi, where did the Gemara get Yud Gimel Palmim? Because the pasuk says, "Vatovei Basheva lefnei Hamelach Achedra, vaHamelach David Zokein, vaAvishag Hashunamis." That was the one. Mishoreshes es Hamelach. Notice 13. If you count Basheva one teva, it's 13. But if you count the two tevas, it's 14. That's how the Goyim meant Tomachti Yisaydaisai. So he meant that Gemara, and it's Agadita, and he paskin lalacha that Batsheva is one teva. So I'm giving you an example. Not everybody can do this, you understand? I just tell you something that is going to guide us on both sides. But here's, and you know it's replete. There are many times with Gaina Yailam. And you know which Gemara I would still to a Gemara, I'm sure everyone here learned in Bava Kama Dav Beis. Divrei Torah mi Divrei Kabbalah lo yalfinan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but what about this Pasuk? It's a Pasuk in Netnach. Gilui Milsa Ba'almahi. In other words, you're not mamish learning Dalachas, you're learning a Gilui Milsa. So then you could learn from anything, from Agadat as well. But they're replete shuvas from Gaina Island where they do. And it reminds me of a very famous joke, incidentally. The Shalom Eishev was asked, today, many Hungarian women, when they become callous, they take a total shave. People don't know, it's very interesting. The Netziv, the Litvak, the Netziv, is all for it. You know why? Does anyone know why? There shouldn't be a chetzitza by tefila, because the Gemara says when a woman is tefil, hair is very easy. That's why they comb out the hair. It's easy for it to be a chetzitza. This way, there's no chetzitza, no hair, and that's the reason. But a few hundred years ago, when they started to do it. And there were gedolim that look askance at that. So the Shalom Eishev was asked about doing it. So he says, yeah, it says in Pasuk, Vayasapa Haman Lazarus Ishtai. He gave her a haircut, Vayasapa. He used it as a litzanis because he didn't like the idea. So I figured if you're Peshayach Mabdechasa, I might as well be Messiah Mabdechasa. Since you're staying, you want to hear more jokes, I see. Go ahead.
Does the Rav think you're allowed to say... Does the Rav think you're allowed to say thank you for a loan?
Many decades ago, it was an Aguda convention, and Rav Schwab Zatzal spoke. And I got to tell you everything he said, which is relevant to what you just said. There was a time when B'nai Torah were very, when all Jews were poor, B'nai Torah had nothing. So in yeshiva, I remember in my youth, many boys, their parents couldn't afford to take them home for a Pesach, you know, they couldn't afford. People were poor. So they stayed in yeshiva. But in Europe, who had money? But if you were going home, you went over to the Rosh Hashiva or to the Mashgiach, you borrowed the money, and when you came back, to come back to yeshiva, you paid it back. So Ab Schwab told the this story, which I'm telling you. Rabbi Yochum Levavitz Hatzal was the Mashgiach of the Mir. I believe it was he. And Rabbi Schwab had to go home. So he lent him the money. And then when Rabbi Schwab came back, he gave back the money, a dank. I mean, first of all, he was German, Rabbi Schwab, you shouldn't say thank you, you know. A dank. So Rabbi Yochum laced, this is Rabbi Schwab telling it over. He laced into him, Ribbis Dvarim. Ribbis Dvarim means, according to the Peskim, that if someone that you normally wouldn't say hello or good morning, but because he lent you money, good morning. So that's Ribbis Dvarim. Because you're saying good morning, it's only deeper. You're not giving back any extra money. But because he lends you money, you're giving him the special covet, which you normally wouldn't, by saying, going out of your way, giving him a good morning. All right? That's the din of Ribbis Dvarim. So Rabbi Yochum laced into, what are you doing? It's Ribbis Dvarim. Okay, you know, I didn't know. Okay. Next time, borrowed money, came back, put down the money, and was turning to leave. Rabbi Yochum said, where is your thank you? But, you just told me last time, what's going on? So he said, you have to make it like you want to say thank you, but you're not allowed to. This is the story that Rabbi Schwab told. In other words, there's such a thing as Hakar Satay. But Ribbis Dvarim. So you gotta play it the right way. This is the story that he told. Today, I don't know if that would be, it says, because really Ribbis Dvarim is only when you go out of your way to do something. It's not a big deal to say thank you. Because you're not going out of your way to, you know. So technically, that's not Ribbis Dvarim. Kein Irlani is nothing.
Does Ribbis Dvarim apply if you're trying to get...
Again.
Does Ribbis Dvarim apply if you're trying to get something out of someone that you haven't gotten it yet?
I'm not following.
Say, you're trying to get a loan from him, let's say. So let's say you say...
That's not Ribbis. You mean you let a chumph in order to... You want to be nice to him.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to get a loan if you're not nice to a person. So you're allowed to be nice to him. You have to understand, you have to learn Rabbeinu Yoina. When you use the word chnifa, chnufa is the word. Chnufa doesn't mean to say, I like your tie. You know what I mean? Chnufa really means... And the Rabbeinu Yoina in Shari Tshuva gives you different madregas. Chnufa, the real Isha Chnifa, is, well, there's a madrega I want to get something out of you. That's called chanufa. But the Isha Chanifa Rabbi Yonah says, Yehorad Bal Yavar. A guy's a Mechal Shabbos, you say, eh, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, that's okay. That's real chanufa, where Rabbi Yonah holds it's Yehorad Bal Yavar. Because it's Chil Hashem. Unfortunately, when our maestas were very young, like in the early 30s, how many Frumi Yidden were there that supported yeshivas? If you go back to that history in yeshivas, unfortunately, we have no right to judge them. Because you can't say that, but they took people who were intermarried before Hestia. They gave them a covet, which is one step below that. But it's a way of, I'll tell you a very interesting pshak. You all heard of Henry Kissinger, no doubt. Kissinger, right? So he married a shiksa before Hestia. There was time when he was a frumma young man, when he was 18, 19 in Germany. They have articles. He belonged to Yale Agudas Yisrael, and he even wrote an article which Aguda once sent to him, where he writes, I can't imagine Palestine at the time being anything but a Torah true country. That's what he wrote. But, he changed. And he went and he married a shiksa before Hestia. And there was a time of Jews trying to get out of Russia, and you could call it real pikuach nefesh at that time. And Kissinger was running, I don't remember, with the governor, I think state senate of New York. And he wanted the support of Agudas Yisrael. And he told them that they wanted, it was like this, because he had clout, they wanted him to get a certain Jew out of Russia, where it was Pikuach Nefesh. I don't remember the name, but it was at the time a cause celebre about getting a certain Jew out of Russia. So they went to Kissinger, and he said he'll gladly do it if they support him in the election. I'm pretty sure they went to Rav Shach, not sure which Gadol, that they would ask. And he says it's Chilul Hashem to support Kissinger, because what he did, he married a shiksa barabim, and that Agudas Yisrael should support him is Chilul Hashem, even though it's a pikuach nefesh for that yid. Chilul Hashem is daich a pikuach nefesh. This is the story which I'm telling you, which I know for a fact. So the psak was, it's Chilul Hashem. So many a time, but unfortunately, this is what the yeshivas did at that time. They didn't have people. Baruch Hashem, today we have frumi yidden that are gevirim adirim. But there was no such thing. Who dreamt of it? That it was. So that this is, dinners used to be in honor of, what should I tell you? In honor of people who were mefursim, who were not shomer Torah mitzvos.
If you're a doctor and you're going to need to be Mechala Shabbos, do you have a chiyuv to buy a Tesla, like an electric car, to lower the level of Isser? Because it's electric?
If you're a doctor
and you need to be Mechala Shabbos.
So an electric car is not Chilul Shabbos?
Wouldn't that just be a Derabbanan as opposed to...
Electric car is only Derabbanan? I don't know who says that. I don't know who says that.
Tesla.
At the very least, it's Makkah B'Patash. At the very least... And there's certainly much Chilul Shabbos Deraisa in that. You don't have to. No, I don't think so. Whatever it is, you're ruggled to. I want to tell you one better. At the inception of Hatzalah, I asked Rabbi Moshe Feinstein then, there were always frummies in Hatzalah that said, when you're going to go on a Shabbos call, and there were Hatzalah members, so if your car has more weight in it, you're making more Chilul Shabbos because you have to press down on more gears. So every Hatzalah member should empty his car before Shabbos. And I asked Rav Moshe, and he was angry, not at me. And Rav Moshe's anger was laponim. He was, that, please, like, it's shreklich, even to think that way. Because he said that what you're going to do is making a hisrashlus of people who want to do hatzala work. So you don't, you're not picayune in these things.
Should you use a shinoi, though? Like when turning on the car, for example? Should you use a shinoi, for example, when turning on the car?
Should you use a shinoi when turning on the car?
A what?
A shinoi.
Look, it's like this. I tell individuals that if you're doing something, for the person's taking his wife, pregnant wife, to the hospital, let's say. So if you have in mind, you do have it, you open the door with a shinoi because the light goes on. You close it with a shinoi. You give gears with a shinoi. You do everything with a shinoi that you can. And you give gears and use the brake with the side of your foot. That's on an individual basis. When it comes to Hatzala, I don't tell them that. Because a lot of times, this is a regilus. This is not a one-time thing. They're running, right? Hatzala running many a time. Seconds count. I've seen it a few times. I was once in a bris where a guy fainted. And Hatzala was there so fast, it was almost as though that before he hit ground, they were there. They were there so quickly. This was two blocks from Maimonides. They called Maimonides. It took them who knows how long to get there. And minutes counted. And they resuscitated the guy who happened to be nifter a day later. But they were able to resuscitate him because seconds count. So when you're dealing with such a thing, with a discipline, so you got to be careful. Because the chumrah could bring to pikuach nefesh, which I've seen this gesedah. So you don't do, you know what I mean? And that's really what Rabbi Sheld also. You're going to tell every Hatzala guy, empty your car. As it is, he didn't take a shower yet for Shabbos. But I got to empty my car, you understand? We had cases where women begged their husbands, Leil Pesach. So they went on a call, right? And it was then people who are machmir, in quotes, that they had to be taken home by goyim. They didn't drive back home. That takes more time. When the goy is driving Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, each one to his house. So by the time they came home, it was just about the end, no Seder. So women complain. You can be a member of Hatzala, but not Pesach. Look what you did. We didn't have a Seder. A Seder. So as a result of all these chumras, I know of cases where people were nifter because of chumra. Because I'm going back at the inception of Hatzala. And it was a case. They came and asked, and the Rav said, Shabbos? Again, Shabbos? By the third Shabbos, she was dead. Maisha Shahaya. I mean, you know, it's, what are you doing? You're playing around with nefashos. Shabbos, it's Shabbos. Yeah, so the famous Rav Chaim, he wasn't makel on Shabbos, on machmeh, on pikuach nefesh. That was the way he looked at it. And it's the right way to look at it. I remember at the inception of Hatzala, I asked Rav Gustin. So he just said to me this thing, whenever you're in doubt, the side of pikuach nefesh weighs much more. That's the way you got to look at it. But to be like fafrumt, you're dealing with nefashos. You don't think frumkeit. You know? Okay.
In yeshiva, many of us were dealing with the sugya of Yahari Bal Yavor, and the Rebbe in yeshiva brought up a maisa that happened in the 1960s. With the ski lift and how a man...
With what?
With the ski lift. A man and a woman went on a ski lift together as like a date. They went on a ski lift. A ski lift. Like a
thing. Skiing. They went in a ski lift. Skiing.
A ski lift.
Yeah, a ski lift. and they went skiing together, and they went on together, and they were up in the air, and the man who was running the place thought there was nobody there. He shut off the lights, and they were stuck on the ski lift together. And the woman said, "One of us has to jump because it's yichud." Abzaydigilera. Yeah. She said, "One of us has to jump."
I wasn't all the way up there. Yeah. It was, I know the story.
Yeah, yeah.
I know the people who were there.
So did she have to jump? It's the question.
It was a shtickle fast, yes. I don't think it's yichud, even though it was at night and dark. But Lamaise said, these are shilas. These are real shilas. There's a shila in Tzitzeliezer. A woman has to go to the, she's a muberis. She has to go by taxi. So she's alone with the taxi driver at night. So he has a whole shila on this.
Earlier, Rebbe spoke about how the Gedolei Litta and their Darach
Chasidim. I spoke about
how the Gedolei Litta, the Poskim and Litta, would pass them, they would learn the Gemara the way they saw it, and even passing against Rishonim. And how the biggest insult they can give someone was that they passed.
And
the biggest insult they could
was
give
what they said. He passed from Likutim.
So practically, nowadays, when Rabbanim are learning for Smicha and beyond, does the Rav actually think their goal should be to be able to get to a stage they can learn the Gemara and passing against Rishonim?
I said there are so many different drachim. So it depends on the Mesorah that a person has. So if a person is a Talmud of a Gadol that holds that that's the way he's supposed to Paskin, and that's the way he teaches, instructs his Talmud, he follows that. But if a person is learning by a Hungarian Gadol, no way. Depends, again, on the Messiah. And there are so many different Messiahs.
Is there a heter
yichud
for a doctor?
There's
no such thing as a heter yichud. No such thing. That's why doctors, the truth of the matter is, according to law, and there have been so many times when women have accused doctors of doing non-sneistic things to them, and they sue the doctor. And the same thing with psychologists. They're on our share suits. So the person is instructed to have a little sense and make sure that he's not open to a suit. So that's why the secretary is always there and she comes in for this reason alone. Forget about halacha. Protect yourself. Don't be a fool. Because there are many bogus suits where women accuse men of molesting them, especially a doctor or psychologist. I'm alone with him, and this is what he did to me. And there have been many bogus suits. So they're instructed to have a little seichel that they should not. So, and for that reason alone, so they're instructed so they don't come to that heichet timtza. That's what it is. I once asked Rav Gusman on yichud by a psychologist, because nobody wants to be around then. So he said, to have people that are close to you to call you on the telephone, that's enough to take off, it's mirsas, to take off yichud. So in other words, you get friend with, sometimes a person is married, so he tells his mate, from 6 to 7, I'm going to be with a woman, or a woman psychologist with a man. So call me then. Call me as many times as you want to. So the fact that the call could be made is enough for nurses. Got it? And you have to answer the phone. So today with cell phones, it's not a problem at all. But a lot of times, you know, the people are even sensitive, not even to leave the door a little ajar. So this is what's done, though. But there's no heter, no special heter, you know what I mean?
Is there any value in visiting Kvarim of Talmidei Chachamim and Tzaddikim?
Is there any value
or point in visiting Kvarim?
In visiting?
In going to Daven at Kvarim. kvarim of...
By kvarim?
Kvarim.
I mean, there are a lot of things that have value, and a lot of things that have mishoros. And there's such a thing as, don't waste time. So if you're a braslev a chosid, they hang out, and by them it's a tremendous value. So it's, again, it's a subjective thing. By their mishora, there's a meridika thing. In fact, I think the Velt used to call them toite chsidim, because they were always in the baisoilam, right? There were cases they used to make fun that the manig braslev a chsidim were so hamish with the niftorim, they used to talk to them. So a person told me, once went by, and a bras of a chassid was talking to Yochai, Rav Shimon's father, and he was telling him, you know, you're very fortunate you had such a son. Like, you know, they were very hamish with all the, you know, after a while they're in a Beis Olam, they got to know everybody, you know. But again, it's a value system that's inculcated by your Messiah, you know. You grew up in a house where your mother felt spaghetti is going to be, it's just, you won't get sick if you're just stuffed with spaghetti. You will love spaghetti, or maybe hate it like poison, but because this is your background. So there are things that happen with individual backgrounds. What should I tell you?
If you're in a case where a respected if you're in a case where a respected person is giving a speech or something, and
where a what person?
Where a respected or elderly person is giving a speech and he's saying Lashon Hara, are you able to stop him in the middle of the speech and make a scene in order to stop
that's
him?
That's a very good question, and it's a very touchy question, because by doing that, you're going to be Malbim. Besides that, he's a Talmud Chacham. You help understand him, whatever it is. So you don't do that. In fact, there's a Sefer Chassidim that says someone comes over to you and, you know, Reuven did terrible things to him and he's unburdening himself and he's telling you what Reuven did to him. So the Sefer Chassidim, a Rishon, says don't interrupt him, listen to him, because it's a chesed, but don't believe him. You're not allowed to believe him. It's Lashon Hara. But he's talking real Lashon Hara, what Reuven did to him. But it's a chesed. So don't believe him, but let him talk. All of life is, you know, is balancing. Eshedei chalaisasa. You know what I mean? All of life, really. All decisions. You're always making decisions.
Is there a particular kavana people should have in the bracha of Olam al Shinim or Hashiva Shoftein Ukivarishona? Those brachas are sometimes
100%. You should be mechavan the Perish Hamilim. Why more than
that?
Why more than that?
Who are we talking about by Olam al Shinim in contemporary times? I mean, is there someone specific nowadays? Is there a group of people that are Malshinim nowadays that we're worried about?
Well, the real girsa of the Malachim, in real, it was changed. But it's originally, they say, it went on the Christians, the original Christians, right? So, but whatever it is, it's Lamin of, according, what is it called? Birchus Haminim. We say Malachim because we made a tikkun, you know, but it was really against the Minim. So that's what we mean. I mean, it means those people who are ma'apach divrei Torah, you know, shalai kadin. Like, that's what it pashtu pshat.
What is
Rapport going to
get from his wife? What does Allah allow you to do to help her get it from the husband?
If a man is withholding a get from his wife, to what extent can we push him? What are we allowed to do to him to encourage him?
There's a tshuva from one of the Gedolim of yesteryear. Many a time, there are two sides. But if a person withholds a get for, I think he says, a year and a half, your kaifim to give a get. You can't make a wife into a gunner. So of course you try to work out through a bezdin, you try to work it out, and you do whatever you can, because what he's doing is A, he's imprisoning his wife, Shalaikuddin. B, it becomes a Chilul Hashem, because people say this is what the Torah is all about, that a husband can kill a wife. Right or wrong, the person does not withhold a get. So the tzibur has to react accordingly. In the old days, the person was put in chayrim for, you know, shalaikatim. Today, it's, you know, I don't think we can work with that. But you do whatever you can to pressure a person.
What is the best way to do chazara and be in a mikias to truly grasp and keep your...
I didn't hear it
is
at all.
Is there a best way to chazar your learning to keep...
Well, everyone... There are very famous sayings. Chafetz Chaim said that the Yetzirah would very much prefer a person should do mitzvahs rather than learn. But if he can't help it, and the guy's learning, he does whatever he can that you should chazar. There are different systems of chazara. Some bring in the Teilvus Svara. I have over here, in fact, that Rav Kook Zatzal said that if you don't chazar over 10 times, it's like you never learned it. Some say, and there's a Gemara, that the same day, 4 times chazara. And there are Makaris for it, Erev and Nundalat. So there are different systems that work for different people. Some people, like if you learned a new Gemara that day, let's say, so if it's fresh in your mind, so to daven the Gemara, so that not that before your closing shop for the day, say you daven the Gemara, you daven it. Next day, before you start the next blot, daven yesterday's blot. So also, there were people had a system with Nach that. Let's say 3 kapitlach a day. I'm not talking Yeshua, the story, the Nach, that story. I'm talking Nach like Mishlei, Tillim, etc. So they would put away 3-5 kapitlach. They would prepare it on Shabbos. Not in depth, just to know the Taich. Every single day, say those 5 kapitlach, but say it where you hear what you're saying. Every single day, the same 5 kapitlach. Shabbos, say those 5 kapitlach, prepare 5 new kapitlach. So that Shabbos, you're going to say out loud 10 kapitlach. But the new 5 kapitlach are for the new week. Except that next Shabbos, you're going to say out loud 15 kapitlach. So you, before you know it, did anyone, when you were a kid, did anyone ever sit down to memorize Ashrei? No. It came automatically. You said it so many times that before you knew it, right? The same thing, this is going to work. And people who have done this know Tanakh Bal Peh. Not only do they know Tanakh Bal Peh, when they write a much richer Lashon Kodesh. So there are a lot of side benefits by doing this thing. But it's a structure. And if you follow a structure, I know someone who is very, very, very far from a London. I knew him since he was a kid. But he's a big action. And today, he knows Bavli, Gemara Yerushalmi Bal Peh, believe it or not, from Akshanus. Not because he has a brilliant memory, I'm sure he has a decent memory, but he Menadet Shena Meyenov, he's a big action, and again, and again, and again, so he knows it. I have a good friend who's very cute. He told me many years ago he was supposed to publicize learning Daf Yomi. So he put out a whole big page. Learn Daf Yomi. You'll know, you'll be finished with Shas before you know it. You got it. Okay.
Just want to thank the Rav for his time today. It was a tremendous schuss for us to be with the Rav today.
Believe me, it's my schuss, especially with Kim Kaylee. I have a special feeling for Kim Kaylee and everything that it does. And I've been around that creation, Baruch Hashem, so I know what's being accomplished. So it's a big schuss. Cult of everyone. I think we shall. This is it. I mean, we started the. All right.
Somebody else. Rabbi Kamenetsky, the Paskin. Rabbi Kamenetsky, Paskin about Kissinger and Rav Shach.
About what?
Kissinger.
He says it was Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky Shach and Rav Shach about Kissinger. That's what he says. How many people, you're in charge of this group?
This group, yeah.
Is there anyone else that's here that's with you?
Anyone else?
I'll tell you why. I very much would like to give you my last three Svarim. I would love to give everybody, but I can't.
We make sure that our Bari is up to date, but I think one of them he doesn't have.
Yeah?
Ami gives me, takes care of me, Baruch Hashem.
Ami takes care of you. Do you have the latest Ayel Dovid and Masha?
I'm standing here for that reason. Yeah, for that he has. He probably knows it, probably by Paris. She said it every day.
Ten, Chayvah Gyud, you have?
That I
said. You gave
it? I sent you with him, Ben book.
Oh, yeah.
I threw you the book.
So you have it,
yeah.
Yes.
No, but
Master's Kappa.
Huh?
Yes. Would the Rav mind if we take a picture? We'll come to the Rav and take a picture.
The reason I don't mind anymore, because it's no negatives.
We'll put the, we're sitting with Rav Gusman.
Rav David, I think.
We should have.
Rav David, do you have my latest forum? Give me a look at
the
Rav Yankov was who was it? Rav Putin was sitting with Rav Yankov, and a kid took a picture. So yeah. He said, "Das ist America." Rav Putin said, "Das ist America."